I'm not against people traveling. I travel a lot and I meet people, Nigerians everywhere. And a lot of them are doing very well, but also a lot of them are struggling. Because you need to know where God wants you to be per time. If you are an apple by destiny, you shouldn't be in Nigeria. Because apples don't grow here. But if you are Balumo by destiny, if you go to London, you will be in trouble. As funny as that sounds, that is how destiny operates. Some people, this is the place of fulfillment of destiny.
Hallelujah. Praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift your two hands with me, everyone all over the place. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we lift our hands to you tonight, we ask that you carry us to our next level. Amen. Holy Spirit, will give you permission to move over every life here. Amen. Heal, set free, Amen. And deliver. Amen. Let the heavens open over everyone. Amen. Let limitations be removed. Amen. As we teach your word in this brief moment, let your word come with power. Amen. Let it minister grace to every hearer. Let no one be the same again. Amen. Speak to somebody in unmistakable terms tonight. Amen. Give someone a word that will illuminate their hearts. Amen. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless your holy name. In the precious name of Jesus. Shake hands with two people. Say, welcome to a change of story. Change of story. As you have your seat. The change of story has already begun in somebody's life. Look at your neighbor. Say, look at me very well. Say, this is the last version of this me that you will see. Say, my story is changing. Okay, I wanted to change what you just said. Look at somebody else. Say, I can see you. In the future. Say, you look better than this. Okay, let's say it another way. Look at somebody and say, I can see you in the future. Say, you look richer than this. Okay, look at somebody else. Look at somebody and say, I can see you in the future. Say, you look holier than this. Glory to Jesus. Somebody tonight, any besetting sin that has been taking you away from God, it comes to an end tonight. Amen. Every form of addiction that pitches you against God, that wants to make you an enemy of God, that is stopping the move of God over your life, an end has come to that addiction. Amen. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. I have a simple word to share tonight, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to make it as simple as it can be to everyone here, and at the same time to make it very prophetic. Yeah, very prophetic. The best way to live your life is to live prophetically. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So, if you can walk with God, you stop beating around the bush. The Bible says that God makes a way in the wilderness. And it says it makes the crooked path straight. I remember I was teaching in Abuja Church a few weeks ago. And I asked them a question. I said, if you are a student of science, which is the... They said, the shortest distance between two points is what? What is it? Yeah. If I want to come to him from here now, this is the shortest distance. If I decide to go this way and I turn like that, I will still get to him. It will take time. It will take more effort. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So when the Bible says God makes every crooked path straight, it means that there will be no more delay in your life. Yeah. You will not say you are going to Lagos and you will now pass through Ilorin. Because that's how some people, the journey of life. Yeah. What takes other people 4 years. You know, some people will go to university, barring the kind of situation we're describing the other time. And even when it happens, remember in Joel chapter 2, Bible talks about the God of restoration. It said the years that the locust and caterpillar has eaten, said I will restore. When you are working with God, even when the enemy, you know, sets in and tries to bring delay into your life, when God steps in, it changes what the enemy has done to speed for you. Glory be to Jesus. So tonight, I need you to give me a very rapt attention. I'm not going to be preaching for long. And then we're going to just worship and minister and just prophesy. Speak prophetic words over your life. Somebody, you are living with a specific word. One word for somebody already is that your story has changed.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you can go with that, it can affect your next move. Because if you have this mind that you are still living in the same story, you continue to do the same thing, the same way you have been doing it before, and you expect a different result, and it will not happen. But when you know that it's a new season, my story has changed, you are looking out to God for new pathways. You are asking God for better thought patterns than the ones that have held you down. Are you still with me tonight? So, I want to share about three things, and I hope I'll be able to cover the three things very quickly. And my postulation is about why people get stranded in life. Yeah. Because somebody, you are looking at me right now, you'll never be stranded another day in your life. There's a prophetic grace upon my life to set people free from being stranded. I have been through difficult situations in life, things that get people stranded, and nothing was able to hold me back. Yeah. So I carry grace to help people to overcome being stranded. Time will not permit me, because I want to share the word, but this just came to my mind. 2023, I was in a situation, I've shared it in church before, and I think God used it to reinforce the kind of grace that I carry. You can imagine me, I was in San Francisco, in California. That day, Pastor Wale, I had preached in two churches. Yeah. I did a first early service in a particular church, RCCG, Jesus House, in Antioch, California. Then I moved to one church called Agape, something, something. I preached, everybody, people got blessed. And my wife and I were to fly to Toronto that day. And the pastor, the ministers from the first church, Jesus House, came to meet me at the other side when we finished service there. And they all agreed, oh, we're taking you to lunch. And then from there, you go to the airport. And whilst we're having lunch, the devil struck. The SUV that took us there was parked in a car park. You won't believe this. This is San Francisco. This is not Oshodi. Yeah. The car was boggled, and my handbag was taken out, and my wife's handbag. And we both left it in the car, in the boot. In fact, in the boot, so they had to break the glass to be able to do that. My passport was inside. Yeah. All my travel document, everything was inside. Yeah. My wife's travel document, everything was inside. So within 30 minutes, we became fugitives, because we had no means of being identified. And we're supposed to fly to Canada from there to continue our mission. We had programs lined up. Yeah, I was supposed to speak in one of the biggest RCC churches in Canada the following Sunday. But you know, this is the testimony. I can't bore you with the details. But the testimony was that everything that I set out to do on that mission, I did. I did. I kept telling my wife, I said, God told me that we will not be stranded. Yeah. Every travel document that was needed, these were Nigerians without passport. You can't even talk about visa when you don't have passport. Yeah. Yet, we left America, got into Canada, did all the ministrations, and came back to Lagos. See, these are not rhetorics. These are real things. And I said that for somebody to understand. You may feel like you are stranded where you are right now. And you don't know what is next. You have tried one or two things. But after tonight, my God will open a pathway for you. Amen. You will know the next thing to do.
Amen.
And the right people will come around you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Let me attempt to start from there. 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1. A woman was stranded. In 2 Kings 4 and verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophet cried out to Elisha. You see, when you feel stranded, you have to embrace the prophetic. Yeah. You have to go to God with a mind that God will lead you. That's what it means to embrace the prophetic. It's not just, it doesn't just mean to go to a prophet, because we're in the New Testament. We are not bound to seeing a physical prophet. It's not bad to see a prophet, don't get me wrong, but we're not bound by it. In the Old Testament, you have to. In the New Testament, you carry the prophetic. You are prophetic in nature. When you worship the way we have worshiped tonight, God starts to stir your heart. The water is stirred. You cannot worship like this and still be stranded. It means that the God that you have worshiped is like the God of the prophet of Baal, who goes on holiday. Because they did everything. They even cut themselves with knife. And the fire will not come down. Their God was sleeping. And he was snoring badly. Yeah. But when Elijah showed up and said, let the God that answered by fire, fire came down. Are you still with me tonight? That's what I mean by embracing the prophetic. When you feel stranded. If somebody is listening to me tonight and you feel stranded, you will never be stranded again the rest of your life.
Amen.
From this point, God will start to lead you.
Amen.
God will start to direct your pathways.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So the Bible talks about this woman who was stranded. Apparently, he was connected to the lineage of the prophet. She was supposed to be able to walk in the prophetic, being led by God, being directed by God, gaining a sense of direction beyond the ordinary, being able to glean into the word of God and receive a revelation, a verse of the scripture, an inner witness, a voice behind you. Like Isaiah 30 and verse 20 and 21 said you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's been prophetic. So this woman went. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my prophet, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. By the way, it's not enough to fear God. Yeah. Plus fear of God, you have to gain the divine direction to know what to do in God. Because that man that died feared God. But he still died indebted to the point that he wanted to come and carry his children. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I'm praying tonight that as you hear me out, you will step up from not just fearing God to walking with God.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, you can fear somebody enough that when the person is coming like this, you're going that direction. You will never benefit anything from that person. No. Yeah. We don't fear God that way. Our fear of God is not to run away from him. It's to, you know, to revere him, to honor him, to embrace him, to walk with him, so we can enjoy grace from him, divine direction from him, and enjoy his unmerited favor. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Very important. So this woman went to the prophet and said all that she said. And the next thing in verse 2 is, so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? First question, what shall I do for you? Before she could answer, he said, tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Elisha said, look, I want to help. How can I help you? And then the next thing Elisha was asking is, what do you have in your house? And the woman almost missed it, just like all of us. She said, the servant had nothing but a jar of oil. You know, a lot of the time, we undermine what we have. We look down on ourselves and the gift of God within us. That's one of the major reasons why some people are stranded. You see, that day, if that woman did not have but, I'm not sure if Elisha would have been able to help her. Because the prophetic grace flowing that day was premised on the power of recognition. Recognizing what you have so that God can bless it and multiply it. Are you still with me today? Yeah. She said nothing but a jar of oil. Look at the next thing, verse 3. Then he said, Elisha said, can we read it together? 1, 2, go. Go borrow vessels. From where? From all your neighbors. So, look at that. The next instruction, after she identified what she had, at least she told the prophet, my hands are not completely empty. There's something around me. There's something in me. There's something in my hands. It may be small, but I recognize it. Then the next instruction is, go borrow vessels. From where? Everywhere. Everywhere. You'll get my gist very soon. Everywhere. You know, we live in Japa days, and people think you have to be somewhere before you can succeed. Yeah. I'm not against people traveling. I travel a lot, and I meet people, Nigerians everywhere, and a lot of them are doing very well, but also a lot of them are struggling. Yeah. Because you need to know where God wants you to be per time. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you are an apple by destiny, you shouldn't be in Nigeria because apples don't grow here. But if you are Balumo by destiny, if you go to London, you will be in trouble. As funny as that sounds, that is how destiny operates. Yeah. That's how destiny operates. Not every fruit in the world can thrive here. And there are fruits here that can thrive in other places too. Some people, this is the place of fulfillment of destiny. It's from here you will even be sponsoring people abroad. Yeah. You'll be sponsoring people abroad. You'll be doing things for them. You'll go on holiday like this. They will come around you. And you'll be saying, what's your problem? I can help you with that. I can help you with that. And you're here. Oh, people are not saying amen. Yeah. Anyone under the bondage of I must live abroad that has been stranded, God sent me to you tonight. That lie of the devil will be broken over your heart. Yeah. The Lord will open your eyes to your assignment here. Yeah. From here, you'll be buying houses abroad. Yeah. Oh, say a better amen, somebody. Yeah. See what I just said now. Somebody listen to me today. Write today's date down. 10 years from today, it will look like tomorrow. Yeah. 10 years from today, you will reference today and say there's a praise and prophetic experience that PG came from Lagos and he said this. And today is happening in my life because I'm in Nigeria and I'm sending kids abroad paying their school fees that are not even my own children. Yeah, because my children are past that level. That will be your testimony. Yeah. You will be here in Ibadan, in Nigeria, in Lagos, wherever. And you have multiple houses in America. Yeah. You will be the helper of destinies of people living there. Yeah. Glory be to Jesus. You see, from where I stand, I've seen too much. Yeah, too much. Too much. I've seen too much from where I stand. I've seen how life happens to people when they master where they're supposed to be by time. But don't lose me. God sent me here because he wants your stranded days to be over. This woman got the instruction, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors. Don't borrow a few, empty vessels. And then she went and did that. And then what happened from verse 4, you see that, and when she has come in, and when you have come in, you shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones, you know. So she went, the Bible says, from him and shut the door behind him, her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. They went everywhere, borrowed vessels. As she poured it, she started pouring. Yeah. She started pouring. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. The oil only ceased when they ran out of vessels. Yeah, when they ran out of vessels. I was speaking, I think it was in Burundi, 2 or 3 years ago, something around this. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit opened my mind to something right on the stage, which is that in the kingdom of God, how God works is different from how the world works. Yeah? We carry tanker and go and fill kegs and drums. Am I saying the truth? But in the kingdom of God, God says, if only a bottle is what you have, if it's a keg you have, it is your keg and your bottle that I need. With it, I will fill tankers. But you know how people think God works? Is that you must have tanker first before you can say God is good. And God is saying, I put something around you. Yeah, I put something around you. And that is strong enough. And if you allow me to work with you on it, in the feeding of 5,000, Jesus said, where can we get bread to feed all these people? They said, Philip said, 300 denarii worth of bread will not even be enough, even if you give somebody, all of them, small, small. And Jesus does not do small, small. Wow. Wow. Yeah. And then what was next? He just said, there's a lad here that has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they said, but what is this among so many? Jesus said, bring it. When God asks you to feed 5,000, he's actually not asking you to feed 5,000. He's only asking for your 5 loaves and 2 fish. He will do the feeding of 5,000. Yeah. But if you cannot see your 5 loaves and 2 fish, you will be stranded and the 5,000 will be hungry. Yeah. Can you hear me tap your neighbor and say, what do you have in your house? As you're asking that question, eyes are opening here. Hearts are opening here. Somebody who feels I'm nothing, I don't have anything, God will start to open your eyes right now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. You know, it's possible for you to look at yourself and completely see yourself finish. You know, we say see finish. But we think it's other people that see us finish. We are the first see finish. Yeah. Because some of us, we just look at ourselves and we see ourselves finished. That woman suffered see finish first, but the Holy Spirit cautioned her. She said, nothing but a jar of oil. Yeah. Nothing but a jar of oil. And it made a difference. Just nothing but. It doesn't have to be big. Somebody's listening to me right now. All you can do is to make people laugh. If you don't see it like just nothing, you will soon fill the stadium with people laughing. Yeah. That's how it works. That's how you won't be stranded. Yeah. So when it comes to the journey of a limitless life, where you allow God to rewrite your story perpetually, where you will not be stranded, 3 things are key. And those are the 3 things I want to talk about. Very soon, maybe I'll have a book on it. But see, these 3 things have worked for me. They are still working for me. I'm working on them every day. One, you must recognize your seed. Yeah. Recognize what you have. Your seed is what you have. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 10, it says it causes rain to come on the earth that will not return to him. And it said, now, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10, please on the screen for me. It talks about, see, no, 55, not 65, 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 10, quickly. Yeah. For as the rain comes and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give what? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God gives seed to the sower. Everyone has a seed. Yeah. Everybody has a seed. What do I mean, seed? There's something. It could be a skill. It could be an understanding. It could be an idea. It could be something. It's just something. Tap your neighbor and say, you have something. Say, locate the something. Yeah. You have something. It's called something. Yeah. For that woman, it was a jar of oil. Let me tell you a story very quickly. This must have happened like 1999, 2000. That's about 25 years ago. I was the producer of Success Power for my pastor, Dr. Sam Adeyemi. These were early days of Daystar Christian Center. Yeah, like maybe 5 years after Daystar. Daystar celebrated 30th anniversary last year, right? Yeah. So this was like the fourth or fifth year. I worked as a full-time associate. I was in charge of Success Power. We used to have Success Power on RayPa and other stations. I know people who are old enough here will know what I'm talking about. There was a particular series on radio that my pastor taught, and he wrote a small book on it. It's called, titled Start With What You Have. Yeah. And that series, it preached out of that 2 Kings chapter 4. Start With What You Have. Now, and this happened as I'm saying it, and I want you to listen. The day, the first part or so of that radio series, 5 minutes every day, all right, that's what Success Power used to do then, yeah. And he was talking about there's something around you, and you need to start with what you have. You know, my own job then was to put music around Kinoli after each pause. And then it will come back. This is Success Power. I am Sam Adeyemi. Yeah. I used to do all those things there. You know. And then, today, we're discussing. Start with what you have. A woman was at home in Lagos, in like Alagbado area, listening on radio. And she finished listening, PK. And like I'm teaching tonight, my pastor ended that radio broadcast saying, look around you. There's something around you. There's something. This woman was almost exact replica of 2 Kings chapter 4. Her husband had died. There was no school fees for her children. Her husband was a rich, foolish man because he spent most of his money throwing parties. Yeah. So when he passed on, there was no money. The kids could not go to school again. Maybe this was like a year after or something. This woman was listening and praying. And the moment when we said, look around, when she looked around the house, the only thing she could find was bottles of beer, of crates and cartons, because they used to run parties, you know, a lot. The back of the house, everywhere, bottles. And as she was looking at those bottles, she was like, this is the only thing. At the same time, one malam was passing in front of the house. You know those people who buy bottles? Who click bottles on each other? Bottles, you know. The man was passing. And all of a sudden, her brain connected it. She ran outside, called the man. The man came and quantified what she had. And she got a capital to start a business. When she came to Success Power office, where I was CEO then, with a letter and testimony, as at the time, she had already started her business, she was able to afford to pay her children's school fees. Yeah. She brought a recent testimony herself. We didn't know her. We didn't know she was listening to radio. I'm talking about the power of being able to recognize what you have. To recognize what you have. There's power in recognition. To say I'm not useless. My life is not wasted. I carry the seed of greatness inside of me. I pray for somebody here tonight. Notwithstanding how young or old you may be, may the Lord open your eyes to the seed that you carry. I said, may the Lord open your eyes to the seed that you carry. Tap your neighbor for me. Say, your story has not ended. Say, the years ahead of you are going to be greater than the ones behind you. Say amen if you believe that. But the key to it is that you allow God to open your eyes from time to time to the things, you know, Philemon 1:6. He said that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of the good things that are within you. Yeah. When you acknowledge the good things that are within you, then the communication of your faith will become effectual. That's what happened to Peter and John on the gate, beautiful, as they were going to the temple. They met the man who was paralyzed. And the man was looking at them, that he may receive something from them. And they know if it comes to Mula, they did not have. But they understood what they had. They said, look on us. Say, silver and gold, as of today, we don't have. We know we may have to, we'll have tomorrow, but as of today, we do not have. But such as we have, is that something happened to us when Jesus said, receive the Holy Ghost. So they say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, when you don't know what you have, you can be stranded. From that point, people knew that this Peter and John, they are not the same again. Yes. Such as I have. There is such as you have. There's such as you have. And it's not a small thing. Yeah, it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. Somebody here, such as you have, is that you can calculate things in your dream. You have an eye for details. You have an eye to... It's such as you have. Now, let me go to the second thing quickly. Time is running, and I still want to be able to pray over people here tonight, so I don't want to take too much time. Yeah, I don't want to take too much time, but I need you to just understand. There are different kinds of seeds that God will open your eyes to see. There's a seed of service. Some people here, you are not doing anything. And you need to put that such as you have to work so that grace can come upon it. In the book of Ruth, when you read Ruth chapter 2 and verse 15 or so, Ruth, the Moabitess, you know, became who she was and encountered favor because she decided to help her mother-in-law Naomi. In Ruth chapter 2, from the early part, when they got to Bethlehem, Ruth could have sat at home and said, mother-in-law, you are the one that know your people here. Go and beg them and tell them that we're here now. But he said, allow me to go and glean. I want to take care of you. The only thing I know to do is to glean, you know, head of grain, and which is what back in the day, you know, poor people do. When rich people are harvesting their grain and all, they just go and pick from what is left. Yeah. And said, I will do that just to make you survive. She wanted to take care of her mother-in-law. That was all that she could do. While she was doing that, Boaz came, the owner of the field. If she was sitting at home, there was no way Boaz would have seen her. It was when she put wash. I'm saying this prophetically to somebody here who is trusting God for marital partner. It's not going to happen by you, you know. I'm not saying you should put yourself in the face of everybody. No. But you see, that such as you have, work on it, take it to your next level. As you are doing that, there will be grace for divine connection. Are you still with me today? That's what we saw in the life of Ruth, the Moabitess. Yeah. It's your gift, your ability, the products, the ideas that God will put in your heart. Glory be to Jesus. Also, when you locate your seed, you must trust God for space. Yeah. You must trust God for space. You must trust God for space. And can I say this? I've seen God open the heavens over people's lives in different places where I preach this message by divine instruction. And God put it in my heart to preach this message here today. And for some people, your problem is not locating your seed. You already know your seed. The devil is limiting you because there's no space for your seed. Yeah. Because there's no space for your seed. You know the next instruction that the prophet gave the woman after she said nothing but a jar of oil? Go borrow vessels. Create space for what you have. Create space for what you have. Go borrow vessels. It didn't say go borrow oil. Some people are looking for oil. When you already know what you have, the next thing that you need is space. Vessel. Space. Space, you know, for the expression. And we live in a time where space has been redefined. This thing in my hand has redefined space. You know how many apps are on this phone? Each app is a platform. And that's space. Space has gone digital. The crudest form of space is land. And from the womb to the tomb, man always needs land or space. We need space in the womb. Even when we die, we need space where we'll be buried. Yeah. All the major wars that have been fought and still being fought today in this current world is about space. Is it Gaza and Jerusalem? It's space. Yeah. Ukraine and Russia? It's space. Yeah. It's space, space. In Genesis 26, they fought Isaac. fought. Resisted. They pushed him out. They took over his wells. The devil is always contending for God-given spaces. Somebody's listening to me right now. What is limiting the expression of God's grace and the gift of God in your life is platforms for expression. One of the things I've enjoyed in my life is platform. Yeah. If anybody says they love you and they're not creating platform for you, they're deceiving you. One of the main show of love that anybody can enjoy in life is platform. Yeah. It's space. Space where people can see what God has put inside of you. And please, if anybody give you platform, don't ever dishonor them. Yeah, they can turn against you. Yeah, that's why if somebody gives you a job, even if the person is not a nice person, resign honorably and just go on your own. Don't fight the person that God has used to give space for the expression of whatever he has put in your life. It may be a bad seed that will shut down many more spaces for you. Are you getting what I'm saying right now? Very important. As we pray here tonight, heaven will make space for somebody here. Amen. I say heaven will make space for somebody here. Amen. Heaven will make space for somebody here. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Tap your neighbor, say, go borrow vessels. There's always contention on spaces. Genesis 26 and verse 22. The Bible says, talking about Isaac, and he moved from there and dug another well. That's after they have, you know, fought over so many wells. And they did not quarrel over it. So he called the name of the place Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. Somebody, the Lord will make room for you. The Lord will make space for you. In this next season of your life, you will not be stranded without space. Amen. Every space that you need for business is opening up. Amen. Space that you need for career is opening up. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Space that you need even in your body is opening up. Because people don't know. When we talk about fibroid, for instance, is a stranger that is occupying space that a child is supposed to occupy. This is how the devil operates. Contending for space for an unborn child. Anyone here that carries a fibroid I speak over that fibroid now. It starts to dry up now.
Yeah.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Fibroid is not the fruit of the womb. Whatever space that is meant for the fruit of the womb that has been occupied unjustly in your body will serve that ungodly occupier a quick notice now.
Amen.
Dry up in the name of Jesus. Dry up in the name of Jesus. Dry up in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Space. Talking about vessels. Talking about platforms. Partnerships. People can create space for you. In the story of Peter, when Jesus said, lay down your net, cast it into the deep. When their net was breaking and all that, there's more space. They brought sheep, more boat, and they filled those ones too. Yeah. See, as God promotes you in life, may the Lord send you great partnerships.
Yeah.
His gift over your life will not be wasted.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Somebody who needs another shop, receive it in the name of Jesus. Somebody who needs bigger space for business, receive it in the name of Jesus. Somebody who needs a digital platform, from here, may the Lord start to open your eyes. Every platform you need shall open up for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, somebody say a better amen. In Isaiah 54, when you read from verse 1, Isaiah 54 from verse 1, the Bible says, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break out into singing. Cry aloud. This is a recommendation for somebody that has not been able, you know, to produce fruit. But the next thing is that after he said all that, singing and shouting and, you know, break out, then he said, enlarge this place of your dwelling. Somebody's listening to me here tonight. He said, enlarge the place of your dwelling. Verse 2. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lend in your court, strengthen your stake. God says, if you feel you are barren, make room. Yeah. Make room. Make room. Enlarge the place of your dwelling. Because I need space to do what I want to do in your life. May the Lord break out in your life.
Amen.
You will no longer be limited.
Amen.
Space will no longer stop you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lastly, before I start to pray, when you recognize what you have, all right, which I believe people's eyes are open here tonight, and you start to enlarge the place of your dwelling, trusting God for bigger spaces. Let me give you another example of space. Space for thinking and incubation. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, when you read from like verse 14 or so, the Bible talks about, it said, let there be any profane person like Esau. And that said, lest there be any root of bitterness springing forth that would defile. When your heart is too full of bitterness, the space that you need for divine ideas have been occupied by hatred.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about space. It's not just physical. There's emotional space, intellectual space. Somebody's listening to me here tonight. You are finding it difficult to think well or to read something and understand it. That space is occupied by a stranger. Before you leave this place tonight, the Lord will empty every stranger from your mind.
Yeah.
Every stranger from your heart.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You broke a relationship before COVID. 6 years ago. And the person is still occupying space. You wake up in the morning, sometimes the devil will just bring all the memory, just be crying. Tap your neighbor, say, make space.
Yes.
Let bygone be bygone.
Let
old things pass away.
Let
all things become new.
Let all things become new.
Yeah. You need space.
Yes,
that's why he said in Isaiah, he said, remember not the former thing,
yes,
nor the things of old.
Yeah.
He said, I will do a new thing. To do a new thing, you have to create space. Create space on your mind. Create space in your heart for the new thing that God wants to do. Tap your neighbor. Something is breaking out in your life. Say it again. Say, something is breaking out in your life. Glory be to Jesus. Lastly tonight, when you have seed, and you are creating space, you need to trust God for rain. Yeah. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Ask God for rain in the time of rain. Yeah. You need to be able to, you know, create, you know, trust God for rain. Everyone has seed. Not everyone has space. All right? But rain is also available for everyone who can ask God for rain. Put Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 on the screen for me, please. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Our commonality is seed. God has never created anyone who is useless. Yeah. Everyone has a seed. We are here contending for space. But when God is on your case, he makes room for you. According to Genesis 26 that we read, Rehoboth, he said, the Lord has made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land. God is the one that gives, you know. But you already have seed. You trust God to open your eyes to see it. As we pray and worship right now, the heavens will open here. In about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, will be done. Hear me and hear me well. Are you getting me right now? The Lord will do a quick work in your life. Amen. And cut it short in righteousness. Amen. But I will need you to cry out. Because your eyes have to open. Somebody from here, before the end of June, the space you need for something, you will locate it. Yeah. Every form of contention over your God-given space must come to an end. Yeah. The anointing upon Isaac that led him to Rehoboth, the place of room, enlarged room, is still available. There's no point, you know, dwelling in shallow waters. My pastor used to say that if God said he wants to give you a shark, that you will catch a whale or shark, a whale. He said if you are fishing at the pond behind your house, you are wasting grace. If God promised you a whale, the whales are available in the ocean. You have to locate ocean. And stop fishing at the pond behind your house. There are no whales inside the pond. And that's how some people operate. You cannot be, you know, you finish night vigil. God spoke to you, but you did not do anything differently. You are wasting prayer. When you finish night vigil, you will hear, like when we finish this program now, you hear from God. It must affect where you go, what you attempt, and how you think, and the kind of people you are talking to. That's the only way it will show that you have met with the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. You know the song that said, give me substance, give me proof, give me evidence, love. Give me evidence that is sure that I met with you. Let it show that I met with you. Let it show that we're going to sing that song a few times, but it must show that you have met with God. This God does not play games. Yeah, he doesn't play games. This God does not play games. And whether you are young or old here, if you can spend the next 15 minutes with your heart open to God, I know God will visit you here tonight. Zechariah chapter 10, as I close, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Everyone, 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 everyone. So when you locate your seed and you trust God for space, rain must come. Yeah, rain must come. Rain must come. Rain must come. Rain must come. And the dimensions of rain, I can't get there tonight. The dimensions of rain. In Joel chapter 2, it talks about the early rain and the latter rain. They don't do the same thing. Yeah. One waters, your seed, the other one brings in the harvest. Yeah. There are dimensions. That's why I said, I even feel it more now. That's high time to write something out of this so the people can read. There are dimensions to this rain. I've seen rain that launched me to a new level, that brought divine ideas. There are things we do in our church today. I can tell you where I was when God spoke to me. It's like the heavens just open. And it just says, you know, the same way you hear somebody like Bishop Odeko saying, God told me, go back home and make my people rich. Or he said, I was in America and God told me, when you get back home, move to Lagos. Lagos is not in the Bible. You have to be able to hear God. And when you are enjoying open heaven, when rain is coming upon you, yeah, you get divine ideas. The seed in the ground is watered and it can bring forth. Everything that is blocking the rain of God over your life comes to an end tonight. Rise on your feet, everybody. Rise on your feet, everybody.